Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Liberty Bigley podcast. I'm your host, as always, Patrick McFarlane, and joining me again is our special guest,
Elise.
Hello, and there's a grunting child in the background, our baby Eddie. He's eating, and he's been sick all week, and so have I, so that's why my voice sounds really strange. I just did a good podcast earlier today with DK Williams of The Law, so check that out at libertyweekly.net/123. And today, Elise and I are going to be talking about nostalgia in popular culture and how it's a strange juxtaposition between the progressive lefties that dominate media and they're harkening back to a bygone era.
The example that I was thinking of today, because I was just watching The Spy Who Dumped Me, and there's that Kate McKinnon in there, and I think she's also in the new Ghostbusters with all the women. And I was thinking about that, like, it's like a lot of what's going on to me is remaking all of these classics, but with the new, like, progressive, like, twist to it. I think that's one section of what we're really seeing with this, like, throwback culture that we have. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Well, that's really strange because everything is so, quote unquote, problematic now. And I never thought of it that way, too, because I guess the instance that I was going to talk about was Stranger Things and how all the reviews are saying that it's so heaped with nostalgia. And I heard from someone else say that season 3 has a lot of social justice warrior progressive content in it, and it was recently getting flack because there's too much smoking in it. And so now, I mean, everyone smoked in the 80s, everyone smoked inside, it wasn't a big deal. But to your comment that you just made, it seems like we have to go back and remember our childhood and remember all the great things that we enjoyed about it, but whitewash it now with the new social justice warrior progressive agenda. It's really strange. It's like people trying to deal with the problems of their childhood and remember things better than they were, because that's kind of what nostalgia is.
Yeah, kind of look through those rose-colored glasses.
But yeah. Now with their, and treat it with their own social justice warrior, like, antiseptic or what have you.
I mean, the other section of it, too, is, like, I mean, they're remaking all of these things. And some of, like, the Disney, they're doing all these, like, live action and stuff like that. And so as you see these things come up, you know, sometimes it'll remind you, oh, I love that movie, I'm going to go watch that movie. So we've been rewatching a lot of things. We're, you know, just watching them because we feel like it, not because we were reminded. But you make the comment a lot, like, oh, that would never fly today. You know, that would never be able to be on TV today without them, like, getting in major trouble, you know? And so I think part of that is, that a lot of people would say is looking at it like, oh, that's so great that we're in a society now, or, you know, that's like this and that. But in a lot of ways, it's these things really, it's just a different opinion. It's not even like it's that problematic. I'm trying to think of an example that you said recently. Do you remember any?
Oh, something that I said would never fly today. Was it in, it was in Casper, was it? Because we were watching Casper today. Casper the Friendly Ghost. What was it? Do you remember? Well, we'll think of it, but I don't know. I really think that all this nostalgia is the death throes of a dying culture. I really do think that we're, maybe it's alarmist collapsitarianism or something, but it really is alarming how everything has to be remade now. Where, like, certain things are being redone 3 or 4 times. Like, Spider-Man, hasn't that been rebooted, like, 4 times?
Yeah.
And all these, okay, I hate superhero movies. Maybe this might lose me a few followers, but I think they're all contrived, the same storyline every single time in across all of the superheroes. I don't think there's anything original about anything. And that could just be my just me being ignorant about
Your
it.
slant on it, you
It
know?
maybe it is. It could be, but I do like Batman.
I think part of the reason why I like Batman and a lot of the DC stuff is more likable to me is because it's gritty and darker, and I like that better, just as like my personal opinion. But I can see where you're coming from. I'm not a huge fan, but I can definitely like watch them, you know? I'm not against superhero movies.
Well, it seems like the plot in everyone is the same. Like, innocent person has something horrible happen to them. It changes them, it mutates them in a certain way, and then they fight enemies and they win and save the day. That's basically every single superhero movie.
Maybe it's because you are more of like that English major and you're always looking for like the deeper message behind things, and superhero movies are just so shallow, kind of like one note. They're not, you know, you can't really delve deep into them.
And I don't know, maybe someone who's really into superheroes could point this, illuminate this to us. But I mean, it's not just that though. It's every single Disney movie is getting a live action remake. Like, what the fuck? Wasn't The Lion King good one time? I mean, The Lion King is so, I mean, there's no such thing as completely original art, you know, because everything is a reinvention of what has happened already. But when you are literally taking the same story and remaking it and telling it just a little different, that's not the same as like, so The Lion King is basically Hamlet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, The Lion King is Hamlet. There's a difference between taking Hamlet and retelling the story as The Lion King, almost completely unrecognizable except for the plot devices and the characters, but just in a totally different, you know, reimagining. There's a difference between taking Hamlet and creating The Lion King and then taking The Lion King and creating a live action version of it. I mean, you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah,
Or
yeah.
what are some, I mean,
Well, so they did The Lion King and Aladdin. They're doing Mulan and The Little Mermaid. And it's just, I haven't seen any of them yet or
you
any of
said
them.
Aladdin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, it just seems kind of like a cashing in on this like nostalgic thing, because a lot of these people that watch these movies as kids now have kids.
Yeah, it's the next generation. Like, are we gonna just regurgitate the same trash for every generation? And speaking of regurgitating,
Eddie just threw up
yeah.
or spat up.
So I mean, it's not just that too. It's so Poltergeist had a remake. All these like Nightmare on Elm Street is having a remake.
Chucky.
Chucky is having a remake, and like some of them are reboots. But come up with another freaking genre. I mean, or come up with another story. I understand it's more of a risk. But maybe that's a critique of our modern. I don't know if it's a capitalist thing, because I haven't, you know, there's a whole side, I guess, of it, capitalism's effect on Hollywood. But I would probably venture to say that there is some kind of state intervention in the Hollywood system or the government propping up Hollywood in some way that is encouraging this disgusting commercialism that we're seeing. I mean, it's kind of the fact that the whole Hollywood is all so saturated with leftism. Can't they see that they're just part of a huge commercial, like commercialist cesspool? at this point in time. Like, you can
Well, it's not like art anymore, right?
I don't think it's art anymore. I don't.
Like there's a lot of like when you look at like certain like indie things, you can like see the art in it, and that's why I think we're such fans of like the A24 studio and like a lot of the horror movies that they make is because they are interesting and
Original.
yeah, like
It comes at
It Comes
night.
at Night was such a different movie and so many people just hated it. And then The Witch, we saw that in theaters and we walked out, both of us just like, wow, what a masterpiece. And all these people around us walked out like, oh, that wasn't scary. Like, that was dumb.
Derp. And yeah, so there's so I'm like, so one thing, good thing that is coming out is we're kind of uniquely focused on the horror genre, right? I think there's a lot of really good social commentary that's going on in the horror genre right now.
Like Jordan Peele's Us, I think was really, really interesting in how it talked about like the state of our like current society and this like us versus them and this like outsider mentality of like the minority feeling. And all of these, like that movie has so much that you can read into it. Like, then, like, the doubling of like your personality, primal versus polished, you know, it's
It
such a
works
good
on so
one.
many levels. Did we do a podcast about this or did we
I think
record?
we talked about talking about it.
So, like I said, I've been trying to get Elise to podcast with me for quite some time about these things because I really do think that, and one thing that this podcast has kind of suffered from, I think, is when it's just one person talking. It works for Peter Schiff because he just is a motor mouth and has all these different like updates and thoughts on the stock market. But I don't know, I'm not a listener, but I would suffice pro or I would imagine that one person just rambling for every episode gets a little boring. And I think that conversation is a little more inspirational between two, like a conversation as opposed to just a monologue.
When it's a train of thought thing, it can get a little bit like,
Oh, is this a criticism?
well, no, I'm just saying when I've listened to podcasts and it's just like a train of thought, you have to be a special kind of person to get like to be that engrossing to listen to for a lot of
And
people.
that's me, right?
Of course.
Right.
But for a lot of people, it's like, I mean, for example, like the Tom Woods stuff, if he's not interviewing, everything is like this, like written out. Like he does some stuff he's thinking about, but then he's got something he's like talking about, or he has quotes, or he's like reading passages, or.
I think that's just because he's good. I mean,
Oh,
like,
well.
no, I mean, someone like Tom Woods, he probably. So I don't pre-structure most of my episodes when I do a solo one, but I think that he can just put together an outline or whip it together. You know what I mean? But I don't want to derail us too much here. But
Yeah.
so I do think that. So although there is very unique stuff coming out of the horror genre in indie films right now, the thing that strikes me with Jordan Peele and some of the other directors that are kind of like him in that vein is that I feel like a lot of what's coming out of Hollywood right now too is so engrossed in this fuck Donald Trump mentality that, and I saw this today and I can't remember, it was like some kind of a Tim Pool video about something, is that maybe it was with the night shows, is that SNL literally every single time they do it now is fuck Donald Trump. And every like Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon or whoever those other fucks are, I hate them. But all they do is fuck Donald Trump, night in and night out.
Well, I remember I watched Jon Stewart years ago, and it was much more interesting. And I felt like he did more of like a he would kind of go against both sides. You know what I mean? Like he would read a news story and he would kind of like critique Republicans or Democrats, or you know, he would it wasn't just everything. But then there was this like really like zeroed in focus on like how amazing Barack Obama was. And I just, I don't know, I'm not so political that I can look at all of his policies and everything he did and say whether he was like so great or so bad. I'm just not that interested, unfortunately for Pat, but
well, you just listen to what I say, right?
It's all I can do.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. What was Barack Obama's worst policy for civil rights?
For civil rights?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
This is where you say...
The healthcare thing?
Extrajudicial executions.
Oh, I thought that you were going to say something about, like, the war.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, so I'm just teasing you. But, so, I don't know. I sense those undertones with some of Jordan Peele's movies of us. But I'd rather have his work be original and be saying, fuck Donald Trump, than have him regurgitate some bullshit, you know? Like a remake or, you know, some kind of a... Of course, if Jordan Peele did a remake, it would probably be a lot more imaginative than a shot-for-shot remake of Pet Sematary.
Yeah, that was just, again, just, I mean, there were like two inspired moments of that entire thing.
Yeah.
And like, again, I thought, like, if we're going to talk about like the Stephen King vein that has been going on, I liked it, but it also wasn't great. You know what I mean?
That one is kind of a... It's a kind of a different thing because it did have a direct-to-DVD or a direct-to-VHS film. And I think it was on TV, too. And that one wasn't very good, and it was kind of made fun of. So what happens when you have something like that that needs to be reimagined and rebrought to film? I still don't like the way that they're doing it because, I don't know, I just feel like everything that I've seen... Aside from some indie movies, all these AAA blockbusters like Stranger Things, It, there's not more that's coming to my mind right now, but they all have this trendy, progressive aura about them, you know? And, I mean, Stranger Things especially does. It, I felt, really did. Can you think of any more films that have that? You know what I'm talking about?
It's kind of like how, like, a few years ago, there was, like, that hipster thing. You know what I mean? It's, mm-hmm. like, the new hipster thing, and you can just, like, that's just what's trendy and what's in. And, I mean, it'll get you views. It'll get you, like, attention. But at the same time, it's not...
I mean, it's the same way that Star Wars felt, the new trilogy. It just has this feeling of chic, not really avant-garde, but this SJW undertone kind of, you know, when I said that I'd rather have Jordan Peele come out with an original work that's F Donald Trump the whole time,
mm-hmm.
but... As long as it still doesn't have those undertones to it like these AAA blockbusters do that were just, you know, in a way that I didn't really feel like the new Star Trek movies had the same kind of vibe about them that Stranger Things, It, and Star Wars and... I mean, there's more stuff that I can't think of that has this kind of vibe to it, but I don't know what... We should close this up here pretty soon, but what do you think? Do you think it's unhealthy to have this nostalgia?
Well, I feel like it's just so overdone. Like, for example, like when we... So, Ready Player One, the book...
That felt the same way the movie did.
Yeah. Like, the book came out, and we listened to it on tape, actually, like, on a road trip. And it was just, like, so chock full of references. It, like, dripped with that 80s nostalgia, and it was so in your face and obnoxious by, you know, by a few pages into it, pretty much. And then they you know, turn it into a movie, and it's just got that like polish all over it.
That social justice kind of feel to it.
Like overly, like so, like very consciously inclusive. You
Yeah.
know, like it's like when people are telling you they're not a racist by being like, I'm not a racist. Like walking up to every black person they see and like shaking their hand and being like, I'm not a racist. Like that's just what it feels like in our day and age. Like, let's make sure that we're just so over the top about all of it that it's like you're not even showing us that that's how you feel, like organically. You're showing us that that's how you feel, like inorganically. Like you're forcing it on us.
Because they have to pander to every single audience now that they're being inclusive to. You know, although, what does it say that all these people who are into social justice warriors and whether they are like feminists or whatever, they're probably like, what, 15% of the population, you
I mean,
think?
yeah, like so many people that I talk to in like my day to day aren't that way. And when you do talk to people that are that way, it is a small amount of people, but they're just loud.
Right. And I think most people just are too preoccupied with their own lives to really even, you know, in the same way that it frustrates libertarians that people are not aware of what's going on in the world. I think in some ways that works to our advantage too, because people are too busy living their own lives to get wrapped up in the social justice warrior culture. And they just try to, they just want to go to the movies and see a fucking movie, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe watching these movies have influenced their mind and their tastes that much that they're kind of buying into it now, because this is the whole like CIA Mockingbird thing, is that we're going to control the media and we're going to put these subliminal messages in movies and television shows and books and the news to influence people's thought patterns that way.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. I don't know. I feel like when it very first started happening, it was refreshing. Like, oh, it's not going to be just this one white woman and this one white man falling in love in every romantic comedy, or, you know, every person in like an action movie was just like one white handsome guy, you know, like winning. It was refreshing at first, and I mean, in other areas as well, like, you know, magazines and makeup and, you know, stores and all of this stuff. I mean, at first it was refreshing to, because it was different and it was like, oh yeah, you know, the media is actually thinking about the other people that are out there too. And then it just turned into like shoving it down your throat at every given opportunity. And I guess that's what does feel like that it's, I mean, that Mockingbird thing doesn't even make sense to me because none of it's subliminal. I just feel like it's so
Oh,
obvious.
right. Yeah. Well, I mean, think about someone who is not, doesn't have Patrick McFarlane for a husband or a family member, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, well, your family notices it, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. They're pretty conservative. I would say more like conventionally Republican in a lot of ways.
But wouldn't you say that your family's a little bit more aware than
Oh
other
yeah, I
families
would think
would be?
so. And yeah, I would definitely say so.
But I think all of it's destructive, doom and gloom here, but I don't know. It just, what is that Shakespeare play with the African American lead?
Othello.
Yeah, Othello. But it's the problem with all of this is that it's so self-aware now. It's all self-aware. And you can just, it's all these films are just dripping with the self-awareness of we're doing this to be inclusive or to pander to X audience.
Like, we're so great. Look at us. Look at us, like, making sure that Ariel is black and making sure that, like, you know, for like in all of these Disney movies, like there were female leads of like different races, and it didn't feel that way.
It didn't feel contrived.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on some level with that, you just gotta be like, who gives a fuck? You know, like who gives a fuck if Ariel is black,
Oh,
yellow, or
I don't care what she is. You know,
yeah.
I care that they're so obviously doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know what the solution is to, I don't know, you try and consume media that you feel like is original and better. Like, I don't know, we love A24, and maybe they're doing certain things we're just not aware of. Or what are some other good movies that we saw lately from, we really want to see Midsommar.
Well, they did.
But it's 2.5 hours long.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good movie. But
So, you know who would have a really good thing to say about this? God, I can't think of her name. She's like an anti-feminist feminist that did a thing with Jordan Peterson. Camille Paglia. She has had a lot of things to say about, like, the gender confusion is a sign of like a dying society, and you see it at the hallmark of every society that has like gone in the shit house. So, not just the gender dysphoria confusion, but all that stuff, all the reinventing itself. That's what I'd like to get her take on, is all of this nostalgia and remakes. And I didn't even talk about what I think is the irony of progressives who are being so forward-thinking, being the main generator of this nostalgic looking back towards the past. But I really do think it's a whitewashing and a trying to reconcile something in the past that they enjoy that they need to hate because they are progressives who hate the past. But maybe that's what I think is at the very heart of this issue, is that they're progressives, so by definition, they are looking forwards to manufacturing and technocratizing this new civilization and society, but yet they enjoy and love these things from the past. But the past was problematic because we did things as problematically back then, so now we need to take it and whitewash the whole thing.
That's
And
really interesting. That's
yeah,
a really interesting
maybe that's
thought.
at the heart of it. Yeah, stroke my ego.
Jeez.
I love you.
I love you too.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna call it there. Call it quits there for.
Before we start making out.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed these episodes, where I'm
Thanks.
joined by the special guest. So we'll probably do another one again soon. But you know how to support the Liberty Weekly podcast. That's at libertyweekly.net/Patreon. I've said this a lot. Can you tell?
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
Hey, if you go back to, yeah, and write us a review on this new podcast, and that will maybe help us get some new exposure, either at iTunes or Stitcher or what have you. Stitcher.com. No, anchor.fm/libertybigly, BIGLY, and we'll get some more listens that way, hopefully. And I was going to say something else, but fuck, I can't remember.
You have a potty mouth.
I do. I swore on a lot on this podcast. I'm sorry. So,
Our poor baby.
our poor baby, his first word will be fuck Donald Trump.
Oh no.
Okay. All right. Peace.